I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 11. 2 Kings chapter 11. And I want to show you the power of God and His Word to do what He said He would do. 2 Kings chapter 11. And I've toyed between two titles for this message. Either God Save the King or Rescue the Perishing. Because it goes hand in hand. 2 Kings chapter 11 verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 11 verse 1. I'm going to read just three verses here and then maybe another one or two down into the chapter. And then give me time to just fill in between. 2 Kings chapter 11 verse 1. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehoshaphat, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. So for 6 years she reigned over the land. And verse 12, it's now 6 years later, the boy is 7 years of age, Joash, and he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands. Let me stop right there. If you ever read, it's wrong to clap in church, they never read their Bible. Oh, clap your hands to the Lord. We don't clap to applaud people or lift people up. We clap for the glory of God that God has used people. They clapped their hands and said, God save the king. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood there by a pillar as a man. As the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. Now let me give you a few things real quick here. Athaliah may not mean much to you when you read that name. She was the only monarch that sat on the throne of David. She was the only queen that sat by herself. And it's strange how she came to power. See, she was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Doesn't that sound strange? But the way that it worked out, she married Jehoram. And Jehoram, he didn't follow in the ways of his fathers. His fathers had worshiped God. His grandfather had worshiped God. But he went in an opposite direction. In fact, he brought, the kingdom of Israel was divided, and he brought the kingdom together as not only king of Judah, but king of Israel. And he brought them together to be one king and to try to bring a treaty between both of them. That's why sometimes the Bible may seem confusing to you in the Old Testament, because you'll say, how did they have two kings at one time? Because the kingdom was divided. And so they had a divided kingdom with divided kings. And here he has come to rule, and he was wicked. He set up idols to Baal. He tore down the altars of the Lord. He was so wicked that he had six brothers, and he killed all six brothers to make sure that he alone could sit on the throne. He didn't want the threat of any of his brothers, so he killed his own family. And he did all of that through the guidance of his wicked wife, Athaliah. Athaliah's son, Ahaziah, has now become king. He is gone. But during a stately king visit, he is assassinated by Jehu. The word comes back to her that he is assassinated. Her husband is now dead. Her son is now dead. Next in line would be her son's children. That would make them her grandchildren. So she sends out the word to kill all of her grandchildren, so she alone can sit on the throne. But Jehoshaphat comes along, which is her daughter, which is the sister to Ahaziah, which is the aunt to Joash. And the palace is now running red with blood, because she's killing these children. But she steals this one baby boy and she starts to find a place to hide him. Where shall she hide him? If she hides him in the palace, they'll know that he is there. If she hides him in a royal family's house, they'll know that he's there. And she will not stop because she is out thinking, if I destroy the seed, then I alone will be the queen. But the plan was greater. It was all devised by Satan himself, because what he was trying to do was stop the royal bloodline. See, this is royal seed. This is the seed that the Messiah was to come from the seed of David. So she said, I will have it stop here with me right now. But she didn't dream that this precious lady would take her nephew and hide him where she hid him. She hid him in the house of the Lord for 6 years. For 6 years, Athaliah goes on with her wickedness. For 6 years, she thinks there's no ancestors to the throne. For 6 years, there is no threat whatsoever. But after a 6 year period of time, we read where the prince or the priest comes together with the prince. And before he ever reveals the prince, he gathers the guards together of the temple. And he said, I want you to sit round about the king. I want you to sit round about the temple. Before I reveal him, I want you to make a covenant that you're going to protect him. Put him in the front, put him behind, put him all around so that they could not get to him to kill him. And then it was revealed the prince was still alive. And they appointed him and anointed him the king at the age of 7 over this mighty nation, God's people, because God preserved the seed. Now, there's two or three things that ought to bless your heart about that. Number one, the devil may try to destroy everything else that we have. He may try to destroy our health. He may try to destroy our life. He may try to destroy our position. But I want you to rest assured of one thing. He cannot destroy the Word of God. I don't care how hard Athaliah would try. She could not kill that baby for one reason. God's hand was on that baby. God had promised that a Messiah would come from the seed of David out of the tribe of Judah. And God had promised it in his word. And had she stopped that, God's word would have stopped right then. Now listen, everything may not have gone the way you interpreted the word of God, but your interpretation may have been wrong. But you rest assured of one thing, this book I hold in my hand is the infallible, inerrant word of God. Heaven and earth may pass away, but this word cannot be destroyed. Let every skeptic beat against it. Let everyone deny it, but the word of God is true and will last forever. God will do exactly what he said he would do in this book we call the Bible. So you don't have to worry about saving the word of God. God will make sure his word will accomplish what it's sent out to do. God will do everything he promised in this book. I hear scoffers all the time trying to find places where the Bible is in error. Just because they don't understand it doesn't tell me one thing about their wisdom, because his wisdom is higher than the wisdom of man. His ways is greater than our ways, and God knows what he's doing. And in God's time and God's way, God will always keep his word. Now people are rising up saying, well, God said that Jesus would come, and if he did come like you believe and you worship during this Christmas season that Jesus has come to earth, then why hasn't he come again? Just because he hasn't come yet doesn't mean that he's not coming. You rest assured of this, the same Jesus that came down to this earth and was born of a virgin in a manger there that day, placed in swaddling clothes in the manger, that same Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and one day soon the trumpet will sound and Jesus will come again. Just because you don't believe it doesn't make it any less the word of God. If you could believe this word, you'd be saved today. Not only that, but we all have some rare opportunities in life to rescue the perishing. In a wicked kingdom, there was still one woman that said, I'm going to rescue that child. She had a concern and compassion that she risked herself to save that child. Now, God was going to take care of the child, but God used her to take care of the child. You know, God's in the saving business. He saves those that call upon him. But I'm glad God allows us to be a small part of rescuing the perishing, to bring them to Christ, to say, here's the one that loves you and the one that will save you. Fannie J. Crosby, years ago, was in New York in the mission. You know, that was the church that she attended, a Baptist church in New York City. She attended that church. She is not only gifted as a great songwriter, a great poem writer, but she was also gifted as a great speaker. And Fannie J. Crosby was speaking in a mission one night, and for some reason, while she was speaking, she was strangely moved upon that she started pleading. She said, there is some mother's son here tonight in this place that you need to accept Christ as your Savior now. And she just kept pleading, and they'd try to end, but she'd keep pleading. Some mother's son needs to be saved. God's trying to rescue some mother's son here tonight in this place. After the service was over, she felt somewhat defeated because she was sure it was the Spirit of God pressing heavy on her to try to encourage that one to give their life to Christ, not knowing who it was. Of course, she being blind had no way of knowing who it was. She couldn't tell by looking on the faces of the people if anybody was bothered or not. All she knew was the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit dealing with somebody. Finally, the service had ended, and she was defeated when she heard a voice. And that voice said, ma'am, were you talking about me tonight? And she said, what do you mean? He said, I'm a wayward son, and my mother has pled for me to be saved for years. She has no idea I'm in New York City, has no idea where I'm at, and you have no idea that I'm a mother's wayward son. But I believe I'm the one that God has sent you. I'm the one that's perishing, and God sent you to rescue me with the message you gave tonight of salvation. When she went home, she pinned down those words, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them from pity, from sin and the grave. Leap o'er the erring ones. Lift up the fallen. Jesus is mighty. Jesus to save. We have a lost world out there that somebody's got to take on the responsibility to say, we've got the message that changes lives. Let's take the word of God to them and tell them that Jesus will save them. Not only do we see you cannot destroy the word of God, not only do we see God gives us opportunities to rescue the perishing. I'm just letting that soak in for a minute. Maybe it's been so long since a sinner crossed your mind, you forgot there's people that need the Lord. Early this morning, I got a text from Jamie. They're singing in a church in Franklin Furnace this morning. And she said, really pray for me. Mark, I don't know if she communicated with you, but she said, the Spirit of the Lord's moved on me. As soon as we're done singing, we're headed down in Kentucky on that prayer request that Mark gave for that individual that needs Christ. We're going down to tell them about the Lord. That's rescuing the perishing. But let me tell you, we've all got that duty. That's not just Jamie's duty. And Bruce's job, that's all of our job, to tell people that Jesus loves them and that Jesus wants to save them. We have this rare opportunity. Let's seize the moment and bring them to Christ that they might believe and be saved. But then finally, there is a hiding place. Someone said, well, how could God have a king that's 7 years old? At the age of 7, I submit to you, that king knew a lot more than a lot of you know at the age of 70. Because for 6 years straight, day and night, all he heard was prayers going up and answers coming down. All he heard was the word of God quoted 7 days a week. All he heard was worship to the Lord. All he ever heard about was forgiveness of sin. All he heard was phrases like "it is finished" when the sacrifice had been accepted. All he knew was the power of God to hear prayer and to forgive of sin. And for 6 years, day and night, he lived in that temple. Nobody else knew he was there, but just a few. But God knew he was there. I'm here to tell you, you put a child in a church for 6 years straight and they'll be a different person the rest of their life. When they start hearing of prayers going up and answers coming down, they start hearing of songs like we've heard today and testimonies like we've heard. They start seeing people get saved. I'm telling you, it changes our life and it changes our young people. The hiding place. I'm glad God gives us churches as a hiding place. The problem is not that people don't hear the word. The problem is people don't respond to the word. I don't mind to tell you this. It is really troubling to me in these days that we're living that we seem to be losing a burden for unsaved people. And I know why. Because everybody's a Christian. When they want to be. When it sounds good or when it fits in. And I know their definition of Christian, and I'm not embarrassed to tell you that the world's definition of a Christian and our definition of a Christian is not the same definition. You're not a Christian just because you're not something else. You know, just because you're not Islamic doesn't make you a Christian. You're not a Christian because you go to church every now and then. That's not what makes you a Christian. You're not a Christian because you put little cute little quotes on social media. They don't make you a Christian. I'm glad you do that, but they don't make you a Christian. You're not a Christian because your family got together and you all said how thankful you were that there's a God. I'm thankful there's a God too. But I'm more thankful that there's a Savior that forgave me of my sins. That I've had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. The power is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to save people and change lives. That has not changed and that will not change. Today the question is not what you're going to do about going to which church. The question is not what do you think of the singers or what do you think of the preacher. What do you think about this person or that person? The question is, do you know that you have asked Christ to forgive you of your sins and come into your life and to change your life completely by the power of the gospel? Do you know that you've had an experience that you're not the same? And yes, pastor, they can even talk to a dog. For confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Only difference is Diesel got to hear it before you did, Nate. But she just is saved. And that's the key. We ask the Lord to come into our life, forgive us of our sin, and then we tell others.